Well, happy Mother's Day. So glad that you are here today. If you're a mom in this place, a mom-to-be, or you know, whatever the case, we are just thrilled that you are here, and this is your day. So guys, take care of the woman in your life. Do whatever she wants. My wife, let me think that through. Do whatever she wants. Yes. This is a day, where I tell my wife happy Mother's Day. She doesn't like holidays like this, and she kind of looks at me like, it's like, this is awesome. Mother's Day is easy for me. She's like, every day should be, her thing is every day should be Mother's Day. And I'm like, okay, I get that, baby. So thrilled that you are here and join us today. If you're a guest with us today, we're really, really glad that you're here. We'd love to get that connection card from you. You can see the guest services afterward. You fill that out. We have a gift for you for being here, just for being a guest that's here today. You should know if this is your first time or your 40th time here, this is a great place for you to walk out your spiritual life. It doesn't matter if you're just beginning or you've been going for a long time. This is a safe place for you to be in working those things out. My name's Clay. I'm one of the pastors here, and we got a couple things that are coming up. If you are a lady that are in your place, as my wife and Emily said, there's a conference that's coming up, a little short half-day women's conference we're doing this Saturday, called Cultivate, and you can be a part of that. It's from 9 to 11:30. It includes brunch, includes a couple of really inspirational talks, some group times together. You get to meet other ladies that are here. We would be thrilled for you to be here. There's no cost to that. We take care of that through the generosity and the giving of the people that give here in this place, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. You can see the table that's in the back. And then also, we have Starting Point that's going on. Starting Point is a great first place for you to begin. Even if you like, man, I've been a Christian for a while, and I kind of know this stuff, I bet you haven't talked about the core issues of your faith in a group setting in a very long time. Who knows what you really, truly believe? And this is a great place to go begin to hash that out, and also to figure out what we believe as a church here at Next Level. It's an 8-week-long group that begins. We're going to meet during our 9:30 service on Sunday. People ask me all the time, man, do I need to come to both services? While we would love you to come to both services, this is how much value we think about Starting Point. If you can only go to one thing, I would rather you go to Starting Point for the next 8 weeks than come here. I really think that it is that valuable for you to walk through your faith and to build some connections. And so you can talk to someone at the Starting Point booth at the end of the service today. So today, though, is Mother's Day, and we're also talking in a series about heaven. So I think one of the perfect things that we can do, if we're going to talk about heaven and it's on Mother's Day, then we need to talk about the beauty of heaven, because women are just beautiful things, aren't they, men? Like, without women, what would the world look like? It would be ugly, probably metallic, and smell bad. Right? Women bring beauty. They're the beautiful side of God's creation. So we want to talk a little bit about this idea of beauty. And if you're kind of new into this series, like, what are they talking about here? We're going to share some stories from NDEs, near-death experiences. And again, we don't take them at face value. We look at Scripture, but they help us color in the lines of what heaven might be like. And so we're going to do that today. We're going to look at a couple of stories and help us color in the thing of beauty. Now, the interesting thing about beauty, let me show you a picture. This is one of my most favorite places on the planet. This is a place called Sanibel Island. This is outside of a condo that my family goes to every single year, just over and over, year in, year out. We've gone for over 20 years. And when I show you this great picture, beautiful sunset picture of what it is, you can look at that and you can think this is beautiful. But it doesn't give you the whole story. It doesn't give you the complete picture. It doesn't show you that when this picture was taken, my wife and I, we were on our 10-year anniversary, so we celebrated our 10-year anniversary there in Sanibel Island. We've since been married for 23 years, so we've had many, many more years. So it doesn't tell you what was going on, all that this island has seen. This island has seen my kids grow up, all of them, from babies to where they're at now. All of my kids have played in the ocean right outside this particular place. All of these memories come flooding in, them playing in the tide pools, them hunting down crabs and looking for shells. There's a turtle. Every single year, he lives in the same spot. He lives in that bush right there. And every year, I go down and I see the same turtle. He's been there since we started. Many of you know turtles live 60, 70 years. So he's still there. He still lives. And this picture doesn't show you any of that. None of the sound, none of the birds, none of the smells, none of the waves, none of the emotions that take place. It's just a two-dimensional picture. While it's beautiful, it doesn't give you the whole story, right? Ladies, I think you understand this. How many of you have a picture of some moment in time with your family, one of your children? You have a picture of your child at Christmas or a birthday like that. How many of you have that? Now, if you were to share that picture with me, would it tell the whole story of what that picture shows? Would it show the emotions of what went on? Would it show maybe all the chaos that surrounded the moment that that picture was taken, or all the joy that went into it? My dad, one year for Christmas, I have twin sisters, and they wanted Cabbage Patch dolls for Christmas. If you guys remember that. And it was right in the middle of the Cabbage Patch craze where you could not get them. They were absolutely gone. And so my dad went to Kmart. I don't think those exist anymore. Went to a Kmart, and he beat up old women. Because he didn't have to just get one, he had to get two. Like, if he came up with one, that's, you might as well just leave him behind. So he knocked down women. This, my dad, he's not here right now. So knocked down women in order to get two Cabbage Patch. And there's a picture of my sisters with Cabbage Patch Kids. If I showed you that picture, you would go, oh, that's great. But the story would not be there of the joy that my dad felt and able to knock down women in order to get what his daughters wanted for Christmas, right? Pictures. They're beautiful, but they're just a two-dimensional representation of what's going on. This world and all that we have and all the beauty and all the majesty that we have is like a two-dimensional picture of the three-dimensional, fully sensational world that is to come that we call heaven. All the beauty and all the things that are there, and they are there in more and greater dimensions than we could ever imagine. So that's what we've been talking about heaven for the last couple of weeks. I encourage you, if you're not already, to be talking about this in groups with people that you know, because it's in the discussions of talking about heaven that things come alive, that love becomes more alive than it's ever become before, that God becomes more alive than he's ever become before, that the two-dimensional painting that it is this world, through discussions, it gets a little bit deeper and gets a little bit better. So I encourage you to be a part of that. Now, as we're getting into this, I know there's a lot of skepticism around the Bible and about heaven, and especially about NDE stories, and many people want to say, hey, science disproves this, and you can't have this, and science says this. But the interesting thing is, I'm a bit of a geek. I have an engineering degree, and so I'm an engineer at heart, and I love technical things, and I can get into the geekiness of it. And so I love the new sciences that are coming out in quantum mechanics and quantum physics and these types of things. But what we're discovering as we look into science is not that science is starting to disprove all of these things and all these theories. That science is actually starting to prove what the Bible has to say about heaven and what these other people are experiencing when they go to heaven. So if you want some tabletop discussion to have around the table, breakfast table with your kids, you can look up the Kaluza-Klein theory. Your kids would just be all into it. You say, well, what is that? It's the unified field theory of gravitation and electromagnetism. And I'm sure that your kids would be all into that. But if you look it up, basically what it says in that theory is it's all built around the idea that there has to be a fifth dimension. That we live in four dimensions here. We understand three dimensions. Fourth dimension is time, meaning that something exists over time and we can watch it decay or we can watch it get better. We understand four dimensions. But the Kaluza-Klein theory says, no, there's got to be a fifth dimension. And what's interesting, when you get into quantum mechanics and quantum physics and you listen to these guys talk, they say that quantum mechanics and quantum physics only resolves itself if there's at least six more dimensions than the ones we know. Could you imagine a world that has 10 dimensions? So science is beginning to point to this. Cambridge and Princeton physicist James Jeans, this is what he writes about it. He says, the stream of knowledge, in other words, all of our thinking and all of our science, is heading towards a non-mechanical reality. The universe begins to more look like a great thought than like a machine. And so this idea that science is beginning to say, no, there's got to be more than what we see here, because what we see here doesn't explain all the things that we're beginning to understand through all of this advanced math and all of this advanced science. And when people have these near-death experience stories, they come back and basically say that there is a world beyond this world. But it is a very real world. When they go, they say, my body felt more real than in this body does in this world. That my senses were more alive. I could smell things. I could taste things. I could see things. I could touch things. It was more than this world. And so what they begin describing, though, is this idea that something is beyond this world, another dimension, another place in time. Dr. Mary Neal, who we've shared a couple of her stories, she talks about the passing from this world to the next. She talks about going down a pathway. And we're going to show her entire interview this Wednesday at 7 o'clock if you want to come and join us for that. But she talks about how walking down a pathway, some people talk about a tunnel, some people talk about entering in through space. What I begin to believe is that our Creator has created a place that when we pass from this world or this dimension or however you want to think of it into the next, that maybe it's like a wormhole experience as we begin to pass, but made uniquely for every unique individual. I think that is something that's incredible. Paul describes many things in the Bible, and I believe that Paul had a near-death experience. There was a moment in time when he was stoned outside of a city, and what I mean by that, he wasn't like on crack, which you have to say, because you talk about him having a near-death experience, you go, well, he was stoned when he had the, no, they like hit him with rocks until he was dead. And he lay, they say he was left for dead outside the city. And I believe he had this out-of-body experience. But he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when he begins to speak about this place called heaven, he says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. So Paul is beginning to say, look, I can't even put into words what it is, but he reveals to us a little bit. So I want to talk to us a little bit about heaven and what it is on this Mother's Day. And the first thing that I want to say about heaven is that heaven is a place of beauty. Heaven is an absolute place of beauty. Paul, when he said that, look, he has revealed some of these things to us. He's shown us a little bit of the beauty and the majesty of what heaven can be through his Spirit. The thing you have to understand is that heaven is not less beautiful than this world. It is not less amazing than this world. If you can imagine something, it's not less than anything that you can imagine. And there are many beautiful things on this world and in this planet, but heaven is more than that. Love there is more than love that you have here. The experiences that you have there is more than the experiences you have here. Heaven is a place of absolute beauty. Isaiah, when he had a vision of heaven, he said this, he saw angels standing around, they were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then a very interesting phrase, the whole earth is full of his glory. In other words, God's earth, it fills this earth, but it doesn't contain it all. It's full of his glory, but there's more. In other words, his glory is here and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. You get to experience it, but it's not all that there is to be able to experience. The earth that we experience now is kind of a wounded version. We don't have time to get into it, but when sin entered the earth, it didn't just damage human beings. It marred this planet as well. And so Romans tells us all of creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. So all things that were created, they're now cursed. But with eager hope, creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. So the beauty of earth and everything that we see here, it's still a marred example of what is to come in the world to come. That there's still death, there's still decay, there's still all these things on this planet. As beautiful as it is, it's not nearly as beautiful as the creation that God intends and that God has in store for us. Don Piper, who we shared little bits and pieces of his story, died instantly when he was hit on a bridge by an 18-wheeler head-on, full blast at 70 miles an hour. He was killed instantly. He was dead for 90 minutes and was revived in the back of an ambulance, to which the EMT that revived him as he was in the zip-up bag, because when he revived, he was singing a song. He wet his pants and then went over to the cop and said, "The dead guy's singing." Don Piper Don Piper talks about the beauty of heaven. And then Dr. Mary Neal, again, she's a spinal surgeon who died in a kayaking accident when her kayak was underwater. And she was dead, but she drowned for 30 minutes. She had an experience. I want you to hear their story when they went to heaven and what they claim and what they saw about the beauty in heaven. Let's listen to their story here.
So take us back to that day. You saw the 18-wheeler come. What was the next memory you had?
Well, I took my last breath on the bridge, and my next breath was at one of the 12 gates of heaven. I'm looking through the gates. I'm looking down the street. There is a river that flows from this throne or this hill that's high and lifted up, and I know that's the river of life because we're told that it flows from the throne of God. So many of the things that we know and enjoy and love here are visible there as well. I would say this, and heaven's never going to be less than this. It's always going to be more.
Yeah.
In heaven, it's all big. I mean, it so far transcends any words that we could come up with here. If you want to talk about meadows and flowers and beauty, and if you want to talk about
trees.
Did
you see that?
Oh, yes. They're just magnificent, except that they are so brilliant and so vivid as to really defy description.
So you live in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, one of the most beautiful places on earth. How did that compare to this beautiful path leading to heaven?
One of the problems that I and most people had when they came back from a near-death experience is that even the most intense beauty here on earth, even the most intense love here on earth, is very, very pale in comparison to the intensity of the love and to the intensity of the beauty in God's world. Everything was far more intense. The colors were beyond anything we could ever experience here.
So more real, more alive, not less alive, that heaven is this place of beauty that is more real and more alive than we can imagine. But not only is heaven beauty, heaven is also a place of liveliness, electricity, things that are just moving, things that are just bigger and more alive than they are here. That God is trying to create something, I'm not trying, God is creating and recreating something here on this earth through his Messiah, the restoration. But in that world, in that life, things are already there and they're alive. And I think one of the neat things when you talk about beauty, when you talk about things being electric and alive, it's one thing to hear it from someone who has their vision, their normal vision. It's another thing to hear the story from the words of someone who was blind from birth, who has a near-death experience story that then begins to describe things are in heaven. And Brad Burroughs is one of these guys. He was blind from birth, and he had an NDE experience, and this is what he had to say about color and about the liveliness of heaven when he gets there. He says, "The closest I could tell you about color was the brightness and the brilliance of that whole area was absolutely indescribable. I couldn't distinguish fine shades of color for some reason. It's possible that I could have, but I didn't have a vocabulary to describe it. I felt as if I was being entered into another realm altogether, an unexplained dimension that I had very little understanding of." And so he goes on to describe a field that he's in and all the things that he sees in the field and the beauty of the grass. And he talks about trees and he talks about palm trees and he talks about creeks and rivers and things and all the stuff. And he goes on and he says, "Look, I was so exhilarated and so unbelievably renewed that I didn't want to leave, that I wanted to stay there forever, and there's just no way that I could describe the peace and the tranquility." Then he goes on to talk about things that only a blind person would notice. Their other senses would begin to notice. He says, "The weather was absolutely perfect in terms of temperature and humidity." I mean, how many of us would say that? I mean, he just notices that. He said it was so fresh, so unbelievably fresh that mountain air on earth couldn't even come close. Again, just the senses of a blind person. There was tremendous light up there. And he goes on to talk about the light, how it penetrates everything, and how it's almost electric in how it goes out and touches everything that is there. I mean, grass, trees, fields, and then my own personal favorite, he says, palm trees. I am so glad that there's going to be palm trees in heaven, because where there's palm trees, there's a beach. And I am all in for that kind of thing. But they describe it over and over that heaven is not totally different than the way things look on this world, but more alive. The liveliness, the electricity of it, of what they talk about, this like a super reality. John, one of the apostles, he had a vision of heaven and wrote about it in the book of Revelation. Listen to how he describes his vision. He says, "After this, I looked and I saw people from every nation, tribe, people, and language." So that it's just bustling with people. Billions of people across this city is what he sees. And they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches. Thank God for palm branches. That means there's palm trees. And so they were there. And then he goes on and he says, he, being Jesus, will lead them to springs of living water. So there's springs in this place. And then he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain. Those of you that love mountains, you can praise God. There's mountains that you can go and look at. And he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem. And elsewhere, he talks about how big this holy city is. 1,400 miles wide by 1,400 miles deep by 1,400 miles high. That's a big city. So if you're a big city person, you're going to love it there too. I'll be on the beach. So Jerusalem, and it shone with the glory of God. Then he goes on and said, the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne and the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street, and on each side was a river, grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit. So he goes on, beautiful places, mountains, streams, trees, beauty, just electric with life. And this is what NDEers describe. Dr. Neal describes it. Don Piper describes it. This blind person, Brad, he goes on to say this, as he begins to approach, he says, I remember thinking that the voices, so he heard these thousands of voices singing, and I remember these voices seemed to be singing in a language I'd never understood, or maybe it was many, many languages. The music I had heard was nothing like anything I had ever experienced on earth or had ever experienced at any time. By this time, I was getting closer to the music and being absolutely fascinated by it. I wanted to join in with this music. It was absolutely precious. And within a very short amount of time, and I really had no idea of how much time had actually elapsed, I was going up a hill, and I came to a large stone structure. And he goes on and he describes stones in this place that glowed like rich gems and gemstones and all that is there. Then he says, look, there was light everywhere, yet the light itself was actually penetrating everything, including the stones. What he's describing, again, this is a blind person describing something that is electric with life. And again, John, the apostle, when he writes about this holy city, let's go to his words again. And the angel carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates. Then he goes on and says, the foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone, and the city doesn't need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb, which is Jesus, is its lamp. It almost sounds like John is like grasping for words as well. And a lot of the NDEers, I'm trying to describe it, I don't have words to describe what is there. And you hear this all over. Dr. Mary Neal, she doesn't quite have the words. Don Piper, he doesn't quite have the words. You know, the TWA pilot that we talked about last week, he doesn't quite have the words. The atheist that we're going to share his story next week, he doesn't quite have the words. But all of them can come and say it's electric. It's alive. And they talk about the beauty and the aliveness of this. So heaven's a place of beauty. Heaven's a place of liveliness. And then thirdly, and I love this thing, heaven is also a place of adventure. It's a place of adventure. Imagine how fun, how adventurous, how exhilarating it will be to experience God's creation in new and different dimensions. I've been to some beautiful places in the world. My wife and I, for our 20th anniversary, we went to Grand Cayman. We went scuba diving. We went snorkeling. And let me just tell you, the water there is absolutely beautiful. It's perfect. It's always 82 degrees. It is fantastic. We did not want to leave. The food was great. It's beautiful. I've been to the Rocky Mountains. I've been to the Rocky Mountains when snow's on them. I've been to the Rocky Mountains when snow is not on them. It is breathtaking to look at these mountains, to see how massive they are, to climb to the top of them, to get to the top and be beyond the tree line. It's breathtaking to be a part of. I've been to beautiful beaches. Sanibel Island, I love. It's a beautiful beach. Don't go there. It's horrible. Stay away. I've been to the mountains of North Carolina, where you sit inside the Blue Ridges and you sit by a stream and you have peace and you have tranquility. This world is fun to explore, is it not? Imagine how adventurous it would be and will be to explore God's creation across dimensions and even across our own universe. Our tiny little planet exists in a solar system that exists in a galaxy that has hundreds of millions of solar systems in that galaxy, and then the universe exists of hundreds of millions of galaxies that are that size across the universe. Could you imagine how much there is to explore? I think this is what is awesome. We're all going to have jobs in heaven. The Bible speaks to this clearly. And the neat thing is, it's a little bit depressing. Since I'm a preacher, I'm out of a job the moment I die. Like, there's no need to preach anymore. It's like, you want to see Jesus right there, he'll tell you. So I've applied for a new job. My wife knows this. I am a tour guide. So when you die and you want to experience something, come find me and I will take you to the vast expanses of the universe or possibly another dimension. Because you see, God, he's created a world that is bigger than we can think. That the adventure that is there, we have too dull of a memory, too dull of a thinking. If your version of heaven is that it is one big, huge, long church service for all eternity, God help you. That sounds awful. And I do this for a living. I don't want any part of that. But if it's to worship our God and to explore his creation, that's heaven. That is a place of grand adventure. It is big and you can explore it. And the reason that you can explore it is because travel there is different than we experience here, that you're able to freely move. And the Bible hints this. We'll look at that in a second. But let me let you hear Dr. Mary and Don talk about what travel looks like in heaven.
What's travel like in heaven?
You know,
what did you experience?
I probably walked, but I feel like I moved in some cases without walking. I don't even feel like you have to. I think if you want to be over there, you can be over there. I think it's
just
that way.
Just with thought?
Yeah, just because that's where you want to be. So I don't know that movement there is necessarily like it is here. I think we still have our arms and legs, and I think we're the way that God made us. But I don't know that travel or movement or anything is necessarily like this. I did sense that I was, when the crowd parted and I'm going through and going through the gates, that I was moving. I don't really specifically remember walking. I may have, but I wasn't paying attention to that. I was paying attention to my goal, which was high and lifted up. I wanted to go up there and fall at his feet and tell him thank you for letting me come. So I did move. I would say movement in heaven is not like it is here.
We weren't physically walking, but I would agree that there are different types of travel, because we were moving down this pathway, not locomoting, but gliding, I suppose. But as we were going down the pathway, I was still able to hear the guys on the riverbank and see them. And one of the guys, who at the time was only 18, he's a very young man, a very dear friend of ours, he kept calling to me to come back and take a breath. And I would look back, and he looked so vulnerable and so devastated that I would say, oh, just a minute, I'll be right back. And the people who were taking me were very patient and understanding, and I would almost immediately be back in my body and I would take a breath.
Like by thought, you were just there?
Right. And then I would rejoin them.
So it's just neat. I mean, different, a different way. You say, well, you know, that sounds really sci-fi, but let me read to you in Acts chapter 1, as Jesus is leaving this planet, a couple of things that happen. It says, after he said this, being Jesus, he was taken up before their very eyes. So Jesus is going up. He's ascending. Gravity no longer has control of him. And a cloud hid him from their sight, and they were looking intently up into the sky, as I would be too. When suddenly, two men dressed in white stood behind them. So all of a sudden, someone appears. So these angelic beings just appear, and they say, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up at the sky? To which I want to say, duh, I mean, never seen that before. This same Jesus who has been taken away from you in heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. So here we get this idea that Jesus, I mean, gravity doesn't affect, people just appear. So why wouldn't it be that way? That's in heaven. So heaven's a place of beauty. Heaven's a place of liveliness. It's this great adventure that we're on, that we can be on. And the neat thing about all of this is you can experience beauty and adventure and liveliness, and you don't have to wait for the life to come. That it's available in this place and in this time and here now, that is why Jesus came. It's not to like tease us with, yeah, it sucks now, it'll be better later. That's not why he came. That he came and he gave us an idea when he said this to us in John, in the latter part of John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Life to the full. That's what Jesus says, and it's available now. And you say, well, what does that look like? And the best illustration I can give you is if life is kind of like a sponge, and you've gone through life, and it has just taken everything out of you, and you're like a dry sponge, and there's just nothing left in you. What Jesus says is if you will immerse yourself in life, like putting a sponge into water, that what you get is life, and it just oozes out of you. It can't help to ooze out of you. That if you'll just find life in me, that I will so penetrate and permeate your life that you will just ooze life, life to the full. That, you know, that you don't have to wait for this next world. You don't have to wait for the life to come. And if you're here today, could you imagine with me what it would feel like if all of a sudden that person or that thing at work or that person in your life that you've been so jealous about, that has so consumed you with jealousy, imagine what life would be like if you woke up one day and you were no longer jealous. Imagine what life would be like if you had that severe addiction to something and you never thought you could get past it, and you woke up one day and you were no longer addicted. Or you were just an angry, raging person, and someday, somehow, you woke up one day and you were so full of life that you were no longer angry, that you no longer raged about anything. Well, imagine a life where no longer did worry so consume you, that you were so worried about money, so worried about relationships, so worried about jobs, so worried about the stress in your life, so worried about health and all these things, that you were so full of life that it just oozed out of you, that in this, all of the stress was just gone, that the only thing that was left that was able to ooze out of you was life. That's what Jesus says. That's what he came to promise. And yeah, we'll have that in the life to come. But Jesus says you don't have to wait for that life. You can have that life here in this world today. And I believe that that's possible because that's what I have experienced in my own life. Maybe you've been here and you've been a Christian for a while, but you feel like someone like robbed you. Someone told you something and did a bait and switch because it hasn't felt much like life. Life is available. But the reason many of us don't feel and experience life is because of the first part of that verse that Jesus says. He tells us that there's a thief. We have an enemy. And that thief's goal is to come and to steal, to kill, and destroy. And that applies to whether you're walking with Jesus or not walking with Jesus. Just because you've accepted Jesus doesn't mean that your enemy doesn't want to steal, to kill, and destroy, to wring every bit of life out of you that he can so that you're back to that dry sponge. But Jesus, the beauty of it, he comes and he says, look, yeah, there's a thief that comes, but I have come that you can have life and life to the full. And let me tell you, that's not just for the world to come. That's for the world here. That God can come into you and he can fill you so fully, so completely with joy and love that you will ooze peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. All of this is available to you. But we have an enemy, and we're going to talk a little bit about that next week. Next week, not all the indie experiences are good experiences. We're going to share a couple of stories of people that have had some very hellish indie experiences. You see, we have an enemy that comes not only to create hell on earth, and maybe some of you are experiencing that, but to provide a hellish existence past this life. And we'll talk about that. It's a very interesting thing. We could call it Hell Week, like Shark Week, but we won't do that. It's a very fascinating adventure to be able to go down. But let's all pray together as we get it. Heavenly Father, here we are. We just open ourselves. We open life to you. And we ask that you would come and do that for us. So the first thing I want to ask, I mean, if you're here and you've been following Jesus. And maybe you've been following Jesus for 6 months or 6 years or 60 years. But something inside of you, you don't feel much life. You're definitely not oozing like that sponge. The thing I want to say to you, that is available for you. You can have that. You need to seek it out. One of the best ways I know you can seek that out is to get into a community of people, to get into a small group of people to discuss that. Starting Point can help you with that. The connection group on Wednesday nights can help you with that. But it is available. You just have to ask and seek it out. But I would love to be able to pray with you in this space. And how many of you would say, yeah, I need some life like that. You know, I've been following Jesus, but I feel a little dry, feel a little barren. I would love to pray with you here in this place. How many of you would say, yeah, that's me? Just raise your hand. Yeah, lots of hands. You don't have to. Yeah. So, Father, right now, for all of these, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would sweep across them like a wind that blows from heaven. Begin to fill them with never-ending water, the river of life. Let them experience what that life is. Connect them with people so that they can find that life. And then lastly, while we're all in this space, if you're here today and you're like, man, I want to be able to follow Jesus. I want that kind of life. I want to be able to be there. You know, my life to this point, it's been okay, but it's not that. It's not what you described. I want that life here. I would love to be able to pray with you too. We've had 20-something people, 30 people pray that prayer and begin that walk just in the last couple of weeks. But I'd love to be able to pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down forward, but I'd love to pray with you. How many of you would raise your hand and say, yeah, would you pray with me? That's what I want, Clay. I want that life. And I want to walk the Jesus life, and you're making that decision for the first time. Anybody in this space, I'd love to see you. Awesome. So, Father, I pray for anyone here who would love to be able to know that life, God, that you would renew life in them, that you would begin a life. And for all of us in this place, let us experience beauty, let us experience adventure, let us experience liveliness like we never have before. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.